Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Al Mohler and his lies. And the lie specifically here is that Al Mohler is claiming to not be a dispensationalist, and he is absolutely a dispensationalist, at least in what he told Todd Friel. Now, Todd Friel is someone I've not taken seriously since he made the famous or infamous pinwheels comment back during COVID-19. So Todd Friel's not really been a serious figure since that infamous gaffe in a lot of people's mind, including my own, especially since I kind of come at this with an irreverence towards celebrity Christianity. So people like Al Mohler are not sacred cows to me. Al Mohler, I believe, is one of the most dangerous actors in the Southern Baptist Convention. He is largely responsible for their woke trajectory because, first of all, Al Mohler has a long history of being woke on the issue of race. This occurred when, you know, in his hiring decisions at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he also had a struggle session at SBTS, including trying to apologize for the Southern Baptist Convention's history, in which they were theologically correct and biblically faithful at the time of their founding. And anyone who's telling you otherwise is in the Southern Baptist Convention, especially, is committing a fifth commandment violation. They're dishonoring their forefathers in the faith. Hate to see that, but that is Al Mohler. He is woke on race, kind of pretends not to be, but he's not repented for any of his positions on race and wokeness. And he's also woke for the Jews. So he's woke for black people, and he's also woke for the Jews. That's going to show, especially in this video. Todd Friel, I believe, is someone in the MacArthur camp in terms of, you know, he wants to claim Calvinism, but he kind of rejects Reformed positions such as covenant theology. So that's Todd Friel's theological background, as I understand it. And these people who claim to be Reformed are trying to rescue dispensationalism from its terminal decline as an eschatology, as a theology in the United States, because it has largely been rejected by younger believers. You know, and this is brought up in the video. We're not going to play the clip, but it is brought up that, hey, these 16 to 30 year olds that are like some of the best soldiers that we have in the church, they got some questions, man, and they're trying to address that crowd in their churches, that they're saying that the young men have rejected it, and they're concerned. They are concerned. Todd Friel and Al Mohler are concerned, and Al Mohler is concerned about preserving, through dishonest means, a theology that he says that he does not hold. So we're going to dig into this, but first I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over our Patreon-like system that is linked in the description below. We also have a free newsletter that gives you Christian news in your inbox each and every day. A couple things going on in the news. A lot of Ligonier scandal stuff is going on, so you want to read the newsletter so you don't miss that. I don't know how that plays on YouTube. Also did an article on Josh Howerton's. A lot of stuff going on behind the scenes in writing, but the least you can do, like the video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you are new. So we're going to play five clips from Todd Friel, a video he put out last week interviewing Al Mohler and just glazing the most duplicitous man in Southern Baptist history, perhaps. And here's clip one. This is where Al Mohler establishes what he does believe.
Agree with me, sir, that when it comes to understanding Israel and the evangelical attitude toward that state, hermeneutics and eschatology are actually important.
They are not only important, biblical theology is important as the larger context. How you read the Bible has a great deal to do with how you understand today's headlines, as you know, and especially when you're talking about Israel. So I think this is an important conversation. I appreciate you hosting it.
All right. So let's, to make sure that we understand why sometimes we have a different understanding on this, I want to put our cards on the table. Would you call yourself a Christian Zionist?
I am certainly a friend of Israel, a Christian for theological and biblical reasons, who is a friend to Israel. And in terms of that being connected to the land as a Zionist, Yes, I think properly, historically, that was a moment in time. But the argument, yes, I believe that Israel and the land on which Israel now sits are a part of God's eternal purposes.
All right. And you've arrived at that conclusion hermeneutically. Would you consider yourself to be a dispensationalist or a covenantalist?
Yes.
That's not helpful at all.
Okay, so I'm not a dispensationalist.
All right. Now, there are people who would say that, therefore, that land and those promises, they won't take place until the millennium. We're going to get into that. But the point that I wanted to make before we started to watch the interaction between Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson, Mike Huckabee and Tucker Carlson, is that we all kind of go, wait, okay, there's a reason there's some disagreement here. Your eschatology and your hermeneutic, how you go about the business of seeing those issues, is going to bear fruit in your understanding of Israel. So if you're an amillennialist, it's just going to make a difference. I wanted everybody to understand where you're coming from on this so that they can understand, okay, this is a very complex issue. And Tucker.
So there you have Al Mohler stating that he's not a dispensationalist, which is a bold-faced lie. He would later say that he's a premillennialist, but he's not a historic premill. He might be a dispensationalist who rejects, like, the left behind, timelines and prophecy charts. He might reject those things. He might reject, tribulation. He might not be as big on a pre-trib rapture. He might be a post-trib rapture. Here's the thing about dispensationalists. It's ism. It's not necessarily about a specific eschatological timeline, usually associated with premillennialism. Kind of hard to be dispensationalist in an amill or a premill, or sorry, amill and a postmill. Kind of hard to be dispensationalist and those. So usually it's premillennial, right? But it's not necessarily specifically spelled out. There's not a coherent view. There's a popular view, but there's some pre-trib, post-trib, even mid-trib rapture personalities in dispensationalism. So their belief system is not as well-defined as you would like because there's a lot of disagreement on the macros, and that's fine. That's fine. So what we're talking about, however, in defining what dispensationalism is what are the distinctives? What are the universal distinctives that apply to dispensationalists? And that question is, who are God's chosen people? Al Mohler believes that that's still Israel, or modern Jews. He says that modern Jews are God's chosen people, and he makes that abundantly clear. And that is a premise that you can only adopt, or that you can only accept, via dispensationalist reading of the text. So Al Mohler is not honest in his proclamation. In fact, he makes arguments that are explicitly dispensationalist in their origin. Like, these are arguments that dispensationalists use to justify their positions. It's their rhetoric about God and promises and stuff like that. These are the exact dispensationalist arguments that they use on social media against covenant theologians, reformed theologians, and stuff like that. So here's clip number two.
Immediately we start to see the complication of the issue. You even start with, well, there's the nation state, there's Old Testament Israel, and then we're talking about the government of modern day. So is modern day Israel Old Testament Israel?
I think Old Testament Israel is certainly inside the state of Israel, with the state of Israel being a preservative for the continuation. And I think, of course, the history of the medieval period, the history of the 20th century, so horrible, including the Holocaust. It's not an accident that Israel became a nation state in about 1948, in the aftermath of the Second World War, in the aftermath of the Holocaust. And so you're talking about half of the Jews in the world living there. And it is a holding vessel. I think it is to be respected as a part of God's providential purposes. And by the way, Todd, I think a lot of people wouldn't know this, but even mainline Protestantism at the time understood and affirmed that. Even someone like Karl Barth recognized and.
So it's important to note here, Karl Barth is a false teacher from Germany. Like, he was a theological liberal, and even the Gospel Coalition would acknowledge this. Like, he was so theological liberal, and then you have someone like Dietrich Bonhoeffer is even more theologically liberal than Karl Barth. Like, Karl Barth is not an inerrancist. He's not someone who believed that the Bible was true. So the idea that this guy supports the founding of Israel as a Zionist state, as a Jewish state, and, concludes it as some providential value is kind of meaningless because the guy didn't believe that the Bible was true. Like, he's not an inerrancist. So what does it matter what he thinks? He's a false teacher.
Affirmed that. So in other words, the trauma of the Holocaust and things get theologically clarified in such a horrible situation. And so it was interesting that even that's why there was such support, even in the United Nations. Hard to believe these days that it could be so. But the United Nations had a hand in creating the state of Israel. The United Nations had no hand in creating the people of Israel as God's elect nation in Genesis 12.
Well, Tucker, I think, would drill down on that and go, but wait a second, is that informed by geopolitics or is that informed by Genesis 12, 15, and 17?
Yes. Yes, again, I reject the distinctions here because we believe in a God whose providence is played out, revealed to us over history. God's sovereign providence is an unfolding faithfulness. And I see the creation of the state of Israel as an incredible sign of God's covenantal faithfulness with his people. He's faithful to his promises. Now, those promises do not end with the creation of the nation state of Israel in 1948, 1949. And so I think one point made by Senator Cruz is very important. I don't believe that Benjamin Netanyahu is in the Bible. I believe Israel's in the Bible. That's just a helpful distinction.
What you said, I think it's so obvious, and yet it is so often overlooked. History happens in time. And there's God writing his narrative throughout history. It's happening over millennia. So we've got to be careful how much the accordion we squeeze here. So let me get back.
So there you have another instance where Al Mohler explicitly says that, yeah, people at the time used the Holocaust to examine scripture, which maybe that's true. Maybe that's not as true, but it is a bad thing to use modern events to interpret scripture. So there's a bit of a Freudian slip there. Another thing to point out, United Nations, always bad. Christians rightly are skeptical of the United Nations just by instinct. And even back when I would have been raised in a more dispensationalist ecosystem, I was anti-UN. And the UN is what created Israel, which is kind of a bad thing. It's kind of a bad sign that the UN is, you know, agreed upon it. But in terms of invoking God's providence for something that was astroturfed, like Zionism was an astroturfed movement from the top down. Like a lot of dispensationalists will claim that it was, you know, a miraculous founding, that Israel's founding was miraculous. It wasn't. It was a astroturfed from the top down kind of movement, you know, with the Balfour Declaration and a lot of other things that have happened before and leading and after that. But it's not this organic thing that, oh, it's God's providence. I mean, yes, in terms of God writing history, but it's not exactly prophetically providential. I think it's the way that I want to phrase it. And he doesn't really make a great argument that it is, other than the fact that, you know, the UN, the Holocaust, and all these other facts of history, which I don't think holds up pretty well. Here we get to a more hermeneutical explanation, I guess.
For me.
Well, let's start with the last part. Evangelicals are to be the people who believe the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of God. And we are the ones who are supposed to believe up front that God is absolutely faithful to all of his promises. Okay, so even in the unfolding of Israel, you mentioned Genesis 12. Well, there is no kingdom at that point. There's no Jerusalem at that point. That's all in God's plans and promise for Israel. But it doesn't end with the land and the promise. Because there are promises given to Israel, God's covenant nation, that go far beyond any territory that either ancient Israel or modern Israel controls or contains. So I hope I'm helping things here. There are a lot of moving parts on this table, aren't there? But I go back to the fact that I believe that Israel is larger, the Israel of the Bible is larger than the nation of Israel, because look at how many Jewish people are outside the nation of Israel. But Israel was created. It's a remarkable thing in God's providence. I mean, it's astounding. We need to go back to the UN action and recognize that the United Nations, yeah, I know, rarely do you have any good news out of the United Nations, but here's one thing. The United Nations voted to recognize and even to create a Jewish state. That's an astounding thing. So Israel is a Jewish state, legally defined. It is, I believe, theologically a holding vessel for God's covenant.
You've used that term several times now, and I want to make sure that we're all clear on this. It's a holding vessel for
For God's future promises, I mean, God's eternal promises to Israel. I believe that God doesn't lie. That's exactly what is found in the Psalm. God does not lie. I will not lie to David.
So this is a straight up dispensationalist argument that I alluded to. This is straight up what they would say, you know, in Facebook comments. It's not even like an intellectual argument. It's sort of like when prosperity gospel believers cite like John 3, I believe it's like the beginning of John 3 when John's giving a greeting and wishing someone health and prosperity. It's sort of like that. Like, it's a very unintelligent answer and rhetoric. And it one of the things that's been said is that Al Mohler is a liar, so he's adopting a dispensationalist view because he's in the room with the dispensationalists. But I've never heard Al Mohler articulate anything other than a dispensationalist Zionist position.
Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges, so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And I don't believe God lies, period.
Well, it brings us back to hermeneutics. If God made the promise to Israel, was it a temporary promise? Did it somehow get usurped by the church? So once again,
I don't believe in temporary promises. Right. I believe in God's unfolding covenantal purposes.
Would you feel comfortable saying this to Tucker Carlson? Tucker, when God cut this covenant with Abraham, it's really in Genesis 15:17. It's kind of scattered around there. He made a threefold promise, and it was a one-sided covenant that he cut. In other words, it cannot be broken. Mm-hmm. And the threefold promise was a land, that would be Israel, a nation, the Jewish people, and a seed singular, that would be Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There, I believe that those promises are forever in effect, and there's no reason to think that anybody else should have that land because God promised it to Abraham, and that is indeed a deed to the property. You cool with that?
Yay and amen.
Oh, good. I just passed an Al Mohler class. Oh, wow. I'm like,
good stuff here.
I'm ready to be done with life. That would be like that would be like a big box check for me. All right.
So that part was pretty gay at the end, but there is a Bible verse that I want to pull up because obviously we should go to scripture because they don't go to scripture, by the way. But they talk about promises in Genesis, and obviously, first rule of hermeneutics, which Al Mohler should know, given that he's the head president of a seminary, a very large and prominent seminary in the United States, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Let's just read an actual commentary on Galatians written by the Apostle Paul. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you foolish? Have you begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it was those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ, Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So there's a lot going on here, but obviously it's the faith in Abraham that has this precedence. And Galatians 3 is just a chapter that blows up dispensationalism because Paul is giving a commentary on Genesis, 12 at the very least, but 15 also. And we can read a little bit further. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant. Yet when it was yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. What I am saying is this: the law which came 430 years later does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise, but God granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. So again, who is the recipient of the promise? Those of faith, those who are in Christ according to faith. And of course, we have the famous conclusion to this chapter. But before the faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. So we're under the master now, not the tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3 does not allow for there to be two covenant peoples. It is very clear. Paul is very clear. Hermeneutics 101, use the parts of Scripture that are more clear to illuminate the parts of Scripture that are less clear. Well, Galatians 3 shines a bright light on the promises made to Abraham in Genesis. So, clip number four.
I would say, yes, I support the nation state of Israel. I also, more importantly, more urgently, am concerned for the entirety of the Jewish people, which is theologically the nation of Israel. And so I believe it is a Christian responsibility to speak for, to advocate for, to recognize Israel, and frankly, to hold that distinction very clear, in that God's eternal purposes are not to the nation state of Israel, but I believe the nation state of Israel is a part of God's unfolding plan because of his promises to Israel, his covenant nation. And so I would try to make that point, but I would be very clear. Look, I think there are, you take the Bible off the table, I think there are compelling reasons for the United States to be in very close alliance with the nation state of Israel. That is not my primary purpose, but I want to be very clear. I am glad to make that argument as well.
Now you have to step into the shoes of one.
All righty. Again, a premise of dispensationalism. They have a couple premises. One of them is kind of a lie, like we believe in a literal reading of Scripture, and that's really selective. I mean, everyone has a selective literal reading of Scripture, including dispensationalists, but most people are more honest about it. There are dispensationalists that I know in person that are honest about, hey, everyone kind of has this, but, you know, we do it the best, or we're, you know, they're at least honest. They believe that they do it the best and other people don't. So at least they're honest about everyone's selective, right? But the other premise is that the promises that say Israel are to modern Israel or the nation of Israel. So they believe that they do not believe that prophecies of the Old Testament really apply to the church. So that's a distinction. But here is Al Mohler clearly believing that there are promises to modern Jews that do not apply to the church. This is a textbook premise of dispensationalism. And I included that clip because of the legalism aspect, that he believes that Christians have a duty. He's adding law that is not received via revelation, that Christians have a duty to the Jews, which we do not, other than to preach the gospel to them. The Great Commission, if adopted by all Jews, if all Jews came to Christ, that would be the end of the Jewish religion, which would be anti-Zionist, because Zionism entails preserving the Jewish religion as well as the ethnic state being established. They want to preserve the religion along with that. If Christians can't be Zionists for the reason of it contradicts the Great Commission's calling to baptize all nations. Last clip.
Well, for the first time, I disagree with Ambassador Huckabee.
That's so, because, you know what? I didn't want to say that, but I thought that isn't the correct parallel because this is different, the East and the West. Go ahead.
We do not believe that unbelieving persons are in the church. We do believe that on a temporary basis, unbelieving Jews are a part of Israel. So in other words, the last thing I want to do is define the church as a mixed body of believers and unbelievers. So let's not do that. But Israel is right now a mixed body of believers and unbelievers. I do believe that in the end of all things, to the glory of God, in honoring of his own word, and by the way, with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as God's redeemed people, seeing God's glory unfold in his faithfulness to the people of the covenant of Genesis 15, I think all that's going to be a part of the glory of God at the end. I just think that's a parallel. And when Tucker says, we don't know who these people are, I go back to the fact, you really do. You really do. But when we're talking about God's fulfillment of all those territorial promises, it's not going to be people like the other nations aren't going to say, who are these people? They're not going to say, they're going to say, this is the Jewish people. So in other words, there's a bit of dishonesty and sleight of hand here.
Well, it also seems, okay, we can admit, all right, maybe there's going to be some Jewish people, professing Jewish people. Turns out they have no Jewish blood in them whatsoever. God will reveal that. But that's to get into the knowledge of God. What we deal with is reality, and this is what we see.
It's also to chase what everybody knows are peripheral issues.
Exactly.
So, no one's really asking, and let's make this point. No one's really asking if most of the Jewish people in the leading synagogues in New York are lineal descendants of the Jewish line. They're not really honestly asking that question. So what you have here is an antipathy, which is a form of just I think, foundational anti-Semitism working its way out.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, again, yes, whether they are lineage descendants of of Abraham, which, by the way, another thing to point out, the return from exile is largely, I've been reading Nehemiah, Ezra. That's kind of where I am in my scripture reading. It's Benjamin, the Levites, and Judah. So Judah is probably easily the majority. Those are the tribes that really return from exile. So what happened to all the other tribes? They are descendants of Abraham that have been jettisoned in history. And in the Bible, they are jettisoned. So it's clear that not all the, God's clearly jettisoned these people that were given the promise of Abraham, of Jacob. Most of these descendants were jettisoned with the fall of the Northern Kingdom. But Judah at least got to return. The Southern Kingdom at least got to return because that's where Christ was coming through. It's worth noting. So with that said, it is worth asking who these descendants are. And according to the Bible, it must be patrilineal. Modern Judaism is matrilineally connected. They trace lineage matrilineally, which is not biblical. Biblical lineage is patrilineal, exclusively. So, but as you can see, a lot of legalism there, a lot of some bad faith argumentation as far as, it's not a valid question. And I feel like there's one other objection I wanted to make, but it's dishonest. And the fact that that was their disagreement. Oh, yes, unbelieving and believing Jews. There are no believing Jews. There are only Christians. Christians are the believers. There's not, and because when they're using the term unbelieving versus believing, they're talking about those who practice Judaism and believe in Judaism and those who do not. So that's the distinction of believing versus unbelieving that they're making in the context, because that's the context of the Mike Huckabee, Tucker Carlson clip that they're responding to is like, unbelieving Jews versus believing Jews. So that's the context that they're responding to. There are no believing Jews who practice Judaism. They're not believers. They are the same as atheist Jews because they reject Christ. And that's really the most coherent thing about Judaism is its rejection of Christ. So Al Mohler, at the end of the day, is a liar. He is a chameleon. And J.D. Hall says that he's acting dispensationalist because he's on a podcast with a dispensationalist. I've never heard Al Mohler say anything other than dispensationalism. But the fact that he's lying about what his beliefs are, and he's a seminary president, so he intellectually should know from a systematic theology class what dispensationalism is, and that his views, as he articulated in that video, are textbook dispensationalism. So Al Mohler's a liar, but that's not new. That's not new. But it is a good reminder to the believers that this guy cannot be trusted. The Southern Baptist Convention's screwed. But anyway, have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King, and we will catch you on the next one.